So it, Taurus Scorpio axis is about, starting with Taurus, it's about your resources and about how your resources are supplied or not supplied to you beginning with birth. So what that means is that we are, all of us, very attached to the things of this world, whether these things be things or relationships or people, pets, any, you know, everything. Everything, everyone, everyone, everything. Okay. And so when you enter this world in Taurus, well, not as a Taurus person solely, but Taurus represents that stage of life when you first enter the world and you are supplied or not supplied with your needs. And these experiences then lead to you making decisions later on about the nature of reality, because children do remember, and sometimes those memories follow us into adulthood. Some are hidden and some you know about. And so the Taurus Scorpio axis, line of energy, opposition, Taurus and Scorpio, it brings about transformation if of course you're pursuing it. Sometimes it happens without your conscious willing consent, because it's important to note that Scorpio is ruled by Pluto, and Pluto has a well-deserved reputation as that which can come in and obliterate certain aspects of your life. That's the nature of transformation. Now, when you look at this particular line of axis, it's the action of Pluto bearing down on Taurus that causes this transformation, because Taurus, as we said, is where you started out. And Scorpio, in one definite sense, is related to the time in your life when you decide what the rules are. I want you to think about that for a few minutes. This is about what rules you had created, you have created for yourself at that time in your life. Now, we did ask you previously to go back and look at the age of 9. When we give you these suggestions, they are for your ultimate maximum good. They will help you in ways you cannot yet imagine. And now, here on the cusp, if you will, of full, is a great time to go back and write down as many of the rules that you formed at age 9 that you can think of. They're there. Decisions you made about the nature of reality. Those are rules, because they stay in effect until you change them. And whether you are consciously or subconsciously acting out of those rules is dependent upon how much spelunking you've done of, in certain definite sense, because this is the stuff that is usually buried. And so this week, as a particular treat, we're going to suggest that you utilize the sword of truth on that time frame in your life. And we're going to help you with that, because we're going to focus the meditation around this. We can tell you from looking generally at everyone's energies, and just make no mistake, this is Theos, that we can tell by looking at your energies how much stuff you may have that needs the light of the sword of the truth. And we can say with confidence that everyone, channel included, has areas in your life that would benefit greatly from the sword of truth. Now, as you write these things down, it's important to make the effort to stay in the flow of the moment. It's very important not to judge what you're writing. And we see this all the time, that it is difficult for those who've been on the path for a while to look at areas that are not as energetically high as we would like. Does that particular aspect of the path ever change? We don't know. We're not at the end yet. So now, we'd like for you to take this again and try this again. And if you didn't do it before, we highly encourage you to do it now and do it. And tonight would be an excellent time, especially after we do the meditation, for the very simple reason that these are the last hours of gibbous before we enter full. And gibbous, we use a pun to describe the energies of gibbous. We say it's gibbous 3 days of acceptance, because this is the phase This is the phase that contains the energies of the will to unify the love and the wisdom that allow us to be accepting, especially of ourselves. And so gibbous is a time when you can look at parts of yourself that you do not feel are as high and loving as they could be. And you look at them in this phase because of the loving acceptance of the energy that surrounds you in this phase. And all you need to do is extend your senses to feel it all around you. This big love, this love that knows no conditions, requires nothing from you. Simply take it in. And as you do that, then you begin to see things from a different perspective, from the perspective of yourself as soul, because soul loves you unconditionally. And that feeling sense of that unconditional love, though pouring down astrologically, is pouring forth through your soul to you. Because in one very definite sense, you don't exist. Not in the identity that you may think of yourself most of the time. With a personal name and a personal background and personal likes and dislikes and so forth. Because that is a shell of energy that you're wearing. And all that is a combination of energies that surround the thread of soul that you are. And if you'll notice, we have started to refer to you all as soul self, or yourselves as soul. Because as you practice soul alignment, this becomes more and more truthful. You begin to understand and see more from the perspective of yourself as soul. from that greater awareness of which you are a part, that thread or stream of consciousness, if you will, inserted into this illusion in order that you may learn something or many things, that you may have many experiences and you may grow in your consciousness and the love you are able to contain for the all. And the closer that you come to unconditional love, the greater your consciousness becomes, because it must expand to include. I like to say that expand is E-X-P-A-N-D. It's and, expand, always more, adding more, this and this and this and this and this, and. So that is expand, more and more inclusive. Greater and greater levels of awareness. And it starts and continues for a long time in human experience to, for lack of a better term, work through these early influences. It is rare that an individual comes into this experience and has this ideal life that everyone pictures it's supposed to be, although everyone has their own pictures and they may overlap in some areas and be wholly distant from others, and yet you all have a picture and think that on some level, we're saying, think that somebody's getting that life, but it isn't you. So that sets you up for later in life when you are in the Scorpio experience. Now, Pluto has a cycle of 30 years, so that coincides very neatly with your solar return, and it's close to the moon phase age. What this all means is that Pluto comes along every 30 years, and just depending on the level of growth and everything else you've had, how much it tends to stir the pot. One thing Pluto doesn't like is stuck energy, and yet it's in a fixed sign. Ponder on that. Think about it. It's this urge to change things up in a sign that wants to preserve them. And that too, when you think about it, is typified by an opposition. So there's Taurus and Scorpio, this axis of awareness that from its stuckness calls in the action of Pluto, who comes and breaks it up, makes a change, causes transformation. How much of that it does in your life, as we said, depends on what is needed. And of course, there are other significant stops on the astrological treadmill. So, anyway, so there are other stops. There are other combinations of energies that create change in your life. Sometimes sudden, sometimes gradual, sometimes it's almost like it's creeping along on cat feet and under you before you know it. So there are many ways in which transformation can occur and in which the energy of Pluto and or other heavenly bodies bring. And all of them, in their own way, bring change. And the more that you grow spiritually, the more sensitive you are to those energies. And there comes a point, now for a while you will find on the path that the mundane astrology transits in particular apply to you. There comes a point at which you begin to shift and change and grow in consciousness and your ability to love. And that is reflected in a change in how you react or respond to the incoming energies. We're talking astrological, and that's usually by transits or other measurements, if you will, progressions, returns, and so forth. And we're also going to get into the nature of eclipses, because you have several very important ones coming up. And to explain these things sometimes is complicated and requires more work to form the language in such a way that it's easier to understand. Now, going back to the axis of awareness and what we're asking you to do by going back to around the age of 9, it's not like there is this clock, and when the clock strikes 9 exactly on your birthday, the exact right time, it's not like that. None of it's like that. Usually, because time isn't really real, it sometimes gets difficult for us to explain things in a way that doesn't utilize time as a reference. More like what happens is there are sequences of events that cause you to change direction, change beliefs, or change something. And those are the markers, if you will, that your soul utilizes. And just for a starter, let's just talk for a few minutes about when you first come in, of course, because we were talking about the beginning from birth. When you first come in to a physical form, this stream of consciousness of soul that is you, those ray energies, those ray bodies, that is the consciousness that soul inserts into an astrological point. Because really, your birth time, date, and location is a point in the sequence of events, starting with the entrance of soul's consciousness into the energy of a physical form. All right. So, when soul does this, it's important to understand that for the most part, for a very long time, your soul is in deep meditation. It is running lives, but a lot of the lives that they start to run in the very beginning when they begin to incarnate on this plane are very simple lives. Now, some here have been reincarnating since very, very early on. And it goes upward from there, or closer in sequence from there to here. Okay, so very, very long time, when the incarnations are running, soul is in deep meditation and allowing these lives to react to the energies present for the most part. It is the growth of that stream of consciousness that triggers soul's attention. And that, you know, is worked on over many lifetimes. And so you come to a lifetime, and would like to state for the record and for you to really take this in, the circumstances of your birth and your early life have nothing to do with your level of consciousness, the love that you have, or the level of awareness that you have. Nor does your state of health. These things are not required for a consciousness and for a conscious, well, for lack of a better term, a love wisdom individual. I mean, advanced souls or advanced personalities come in through all different areas and kinds and circumstances and creeds and colors and whatever other marker you want to put on this. Souls do not discriminate. They pick the lives they pick for specific reasons, that these lives are meant to advance them as a spiritual being. So there should be, and we almost never use the word should, no shame in exploring your past. And we find that that happens a lot among light workers, among those who are sensitive and caring and seeking to grow. We find that they are ashamed because now they know better. Well, now is now and then is then. Now is in a different place in the sequence that then was. And it's always a progression, hence the term sequence, always a progression. Whatever it may look like to anyone, including yourself, every life is a progression. And every single human being, animal, plant, mineral, are doing the very best they know how to do. Emphasis on they know how to do. Because you have souls of every every level of awareness, every level of consciousness. Souls can be young and inexperienced just as they can be old and wise. Or old and inexperienced and just moving on. All spiritual beings grow at their own pace. But regardless of the pace that you grow at, you can always improve that in one very easy way. Love yourself, which of course isn't that easy for whatever reason, mainly social conditioning. But then again, you have to come back around and remember what love means. Love is not, I really like the way I look, or you look. Love is not, ooh, I think you're wonderful. Love is not, you do everything I want you to do when I want you to do it. This is not love. This is affection, or sexual attraction, or camaraderie, or whatever words you want to put on it, but it's not love. And we told you what the 8 qualities are of the heart: the compassion, the understanding, the tolerance, and the inclusiveness, the generosity, and the forgiveness. And forgiveness needs to play a big part, because part of the way in which you transform things about your life that you don't like is through forgiving. And remembering that for most people, forgiveness is not a magic process whereby you say, I forgive you, and it just goes away. Forgiveness is an act of personal will in obedience to the will of yourself as soul. trusting soul self to bring emotional healing. It is not your job to figure out how to heal yourself. It's not your job to try to figure out how to let it go. What your job is to decide to forgive, to make that decision, and to use your personal will in affirming that you are forgiving whatever that person, place, thing, instance, occurrence, situation was or is. So now, once you have written up as much as you can recall from that time frame, think about what age you were, where you were in school, who your friends were, what your parents were like, and siblings and whatever, and figure that out. Get around and get in there and look around. And the way to make that easy is this. Hold up the sword of truth and let its light shine on that area. If you can't remember, hold that sword up. Let it illumine that time frame, calling on its energy to illumine you, to bring forth from you those memories that are most important for you to remember and to deal with them. Now, from the level of love and conscious awareness that you have, realizing, looking to the experience to understand what you gained from it, because everything and everyone in your life is one thing. They are an opportunity. They are bringing opportunity to you. Remember, cold eyes, this is a plane of illusion. And realizing, because this is a plane of illusion, none of this is real. It's here for you to learn. What were you here? Why is this here? What am I learning? What is the opportunity? And that is where the real value in your life is. And the shifts in consciousness and awareness about anything that occurred or is occurring in your life. And that's where the wills come in. And of course, with the sword of truth illumining this situation or this age time, this place in the sequence, it will help you. And we will tell you that probably of all the will energies, the sword of truth probably is the greater challenge for most people. And another thing to know and recognize about Gibbous and about the will to unify is that crisis of vision. And this is what's happening when you lift that sword and see things as they truly are. It almost inevitably leads to a crisis of vision of some kind. And that, when you find that happening to you, that is your red flag saying, call on the will to unify. Call on the will to unify. Call for that unconditional love. You're going to need it. And that's not a bad thing. Don't be afraid of the dark. Fear is a glamour attached to an illusion. Nothing here in this life can hurt you. You may have hurt feelings, but that is different. Those hurt feelings are also a flag to you, asking to be examined, more of the sword of truth, more of the light of awareness, which in a definite sense is carried on that sword of truth. It's the light of awareness. It illumines everything right through to the truth. And the truth, truth is beauty, and beauty is truth. Not physical appearances. Truth, truth is beauty. Because everything that's truthful is beautiful. It has the clear light of truth within it. And so, we definitely want and ask for each of you to do this exercise and to use the sword of truth, remembering when the memories come, bring in the will to unify. Very important to accept them and to include them. And at the end of this, what you will realize is that things that hurt or felt the worst, once examined and recognized for what they are, become your gems and your jewels, the most valuable things in your possession. And you have released the energy of karma through forgiveness. And because of that, you are free. It is liberating. The light of the truth is liberating. And utilize that energy of fearlessness arising out of absolute truthfulness. Do not fear the dark. There is nothing in this illusion to fear. All right. I want to take a break before we come back and do the meditation. Well, Theos is taking a break. Now, are there any questions?
Siska's one.
Okay.
So basically what Theos is asking us to do is to write down the rules that we took on when we were nine, all of our rules, like, you know, you got to brush your teeth before you go to bed and that kind of stuff.
Now, did anybody not hear her?
No, I didn't.
Okay, what she asked was, are you supposed to go back to around the age of nine and write down all the rules that you can think of that you had in your life? Things like brushing your teeth before you go to bed, and penny saved is a penny earned, and whatever.
Wash your hands.
Yes,
don't
wash your hands before. Yeah, don't spend it all in one place. Wash your hands before eating. Whatever. Is everybody understanding that request?
Boys, pick on me.
Well, make sure you write it down. I got paper.
That came up.
So, okay, so you need to, not need to, Theos is asking for everybody to go back to this time frame and utilize the sword of truth. Whether or not that you connect with it, I'm hearing Theos tell me, whether or not you feel like you're connecting with it is immaterial. And let me share something with you about what happened for me. You know, teaching you in this class, it's always fun because I always learn something every week. Whether it's while we're preparing the information, you know, while I'm talking to Theos, preparing the information, whether we're talking in class and sharing experiences, but I'm always learning something. And after we had talked on Sunday about the sword of truth being the most difficult to connect with, I got up yesterday morning and thought to myself, well, I really should work with the sword of truth today. And that was in the morning, and by mid-afternoon, around 2:30 or 3 o'clock, the sword of truth came, the light of the sword of truth was upon me. And I got a bunch of stuff illumined from my very distant past. And well, very distant. Yeah, I guess it is kind of distant. It's like 30 years ago. That's a long time. So anyway, and then stuff from my childhood as I started shining the light. And, you know, I had to laugh because I had a thought when the group was reading about the Sword of Truth yesterday when we were doing our Moon Cycle group stuff. And I read about, you know, the Sword of Truth and had a thought that, oh, you know, I don't have crisis of visions much anymore. till yesterday, anyway. And it was funny because when I thought it, I thought, oh, I should have probably not said that. And so here's my expectation, right? So I set myself up for this in more than one way. And then when everything kind of fulminated yesterday afternoon, it caused me to go look at my astrology. And of course, right around that same time, the three main participants in it all had, what's the word I want to say? Complementary, unskillful energies. It kind of hit on unskillful in a bunch of different areas, and of course it all came together, and a good time was not had by all. So anyway, but this is the thing. You know, without that happening, then it wouldn't have led me, I don't know about anybody else, this is how it works for me. Something happens and my mind immediately starts asking, why did this happen to me? What's the mirror? What did I do? You know, what happened? So on and so forth. And I have a Gemini moon, so I tend to analyze. That's where my mind and my emotions usually go. But, I mean, that's not to say I don't have emotional reactions, because I do. And mine tend to be, because it's mutable, tend to loop around. They'll change, but they'll keep looping, and then I'll go back to a different one and loop on that for a while. So, anyhow, so this is the thing about, that I really want you to accept here in Gibbous. And that is, it doesn't have to feel good to be good. And if it doesn't feel good, it's only not going to feel good for a while until you're able to work the issue. And I know full well each one of you works your issues. How you do it is in your own unique way, but I know that you do. Because I've had conversations with all of you. You're all working your issues, and you do it in your own way. But, you know, let yourself, allow yourself to go to those places you don't usually want to go. Now, if it happens to be, I don't want to, never mind, I'm not going to undercut Theos, moving on. It'll be around that time frame, because that's the time frame or the place in the sequence where we all start making our decisions. And so it's important to go look at our rules. Because decisions and rules will overlap, but they may not necessarily bring up the same type of memory. And this is why we have different words for different things. So when go back and ask you to look at decisions that you made, you know, around that time frame, has a different feeling sense than going back and looking at the rules. What were the rules around you when you were in that place in the sequence, in that time frame? Anybody else?
So you have to go to school no matter how, if you're sick or not, is a rule, is it?
Yeah. Yes, it was a rule. Kira said you have to go to school whether you're sick or not is a rule. Yes, that was a rule. That's a rule. Whatever rules your parents had, those were your rules. Now, whether you hewed to them or not, they were still the rules. And then you individually make up rules, and you probably took on rules from your teachers, and you took on rules from your siblings, and took on rules from your friends.
Driving rules, rules of the road.
Yeah, you know, the number of rules that we are subjected to is pretty broad. That is pretty, well, the number of rules is, there are a lot of rules there. Go that way. So, anyhow, anybody else? Is everybody clear what Theos is asking? And about what to do?
Yep.
Now, I have a question. I sent out the copy of the TAM group's Scorpio full moon ritual. Is there anybody that doesn't want to work with that so that I can send you a generic one for a person who's not in the TAM group? Okay. I know it takes a while to get unmuted. So I'm not hearing anything. I think that's long enough to get unmuted. Okay, so I sent you that copy. I also sent you copies. This full moon is Wesak. And I sent you a little bit of background information. If you want to know more, there's tons and tons of information online about it. Well, I don't know if it's tons since it's all cyber, but there's a lot of information. This Wesak, this is considered to be the birth, the death, and the enlightenment full moon for Buddha. So that's what they celebrate. Buddha's birth, Buddha's death, and Buddha's enlightenment. Of course, enlightenment coming before death. I don't know why I put death in there first, but so Buddha's birth, enlightenment, and death. So it's a very special time. It's called Festival of Light. And this is celebrated by literally millions of people worldwide. And so this is our chance to get in on some of that good flowing energy that happens at this time. Now, if you stop for a moment and think about it, this is the Festival of Light. This is a Scorpio full moon. And it's celebrating the birth of light, in fact, the ability of the human being to become enlightened, literally full of light, enlightened. So, where is that going with this? Anyway, this is the Festival of Light. And we've got this, the new moon ritual, or full moon, sorry, full moon ritual up. We sent you, like I said, just a few paragraphs about Wesak. We sent you some of the previous material that we gave you on the Sword of Truth. Theos wanted to retain some of it and then added other stuff to it. So it's well, they're calling it revisited. The Sword of Truth Revisited. So they added new information. They're also asking me to do different information, which I will do. I was busy. So more information will be forthcoming, but you have enough information now to do what you need to do in terms of participation in the class. Now, does anybody have any questions about the energies of the Sword of Truth? I know you probably haven't had time to really read it over. Why don't we take a short break? It's 8:00. I need to reset the recording studio so that I can record the meditation. We'll have a recording of the class as well as meditation. And it's a good thing since Theos usually gives information and I'm not always tracking it. And it's always good to go back over these things. Okay, so let's take a break and we'll come back around 8:15.